seasons of the Christian life. We'll start in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Some of the review by now you should have very well down because we've gone over it. This is the third week we've gone through this. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. To everything, there is a what? Okay, it doesn't say that there are some seasons. It actually says everything in your life is pegged, is attached to a what? A season. So you're going through something right now, that is a season of your life. There's not a time where you don't have something going on that is not related to a season. All right, so to everything, there is a season and a time to every, I like the next word, what is it? Purpose under the sun. So seasons are purposed by God. Change is purposed by God. Seasons involve change. Now what we talked about, and just by way of quick review, seasons, cycles, and the patterns of life are often very confusing. They're very painful. We always want to have the good seasons. We always want to have summer, spring. But you can't have spring until you've had winter as well. You've got to have all the seasons. Most people ignore the seasons of their life. They never have a day of rest during their week. They never have a time that's a quiet time with God. They just go through life and they never have a change of season. They just live through stress. And God didn't design us that way. A lot of people have no regular sleeping patterns. When they do get to sleep, they don't get enough sleep, they don't get the right kind of sleep, and they wonder why they're falling apart. Do you know you were built to work and have seasons of labor? That is a season that we're supposed to go through. And like I said about eating, people don't have regular eating schedule, and so they wonder why their bodies are wearing out. But I've said that God made seasons, and your fill-in there is for us. And we won't look at it, but Mark 2:27, Jesus said, the Sabbath was made what? For man, not man for the Sabbath. So we're not serving a day of the week, we're serving the living God. And the Sabbath was made for our benefit. We're supposed to have a day where we go, okay? And there's not the pressure and the killer stress that people just live from. I mean, there's nothing more stressful than shopping. Amen? And yet, they work all week long, and then they go shopping all day on Saturday. And then there's we got to get to the beach on Sunday, we got to go do this, and it's stress, 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 stress. Seasons are important for us to know about, understand, and work with. It is kind of important to know it's winter and not treat it like it's summer, all right? It's important in the summer to not treat it like it's winter. You need to work with your seasons. Does that make sense? A farmer can get very discouraged if he plants at the wrong time of year. Does that make sense? Okay, so you got to learn to work with the seasons that you're in and what you're going through. Most people are terrified. Most people go, my life's a miserable failure. No, maybe you're just in a time of no growth and a time of season that's winter. And that is necessary. Why? Because every season is to prepare you for fruit. There's not one season that you shouldn't go through. So, seasons are, in the Christian's life, just like there are in plants, are how God designed us to bear, to produce fruit. And let's, just by way of background, seasons and changes are normal, is your first thing. All right, we won't look at the scriptures. These are all background. You can get the audio off the internet. Seasons are normal. Don't be ashamed about changing. I mean, here's a child, he's 9 years old, and his foot size is twice the size of everybody else's. He's going through a growth spurt, and he's stretching, and he's like, I don't like what I'm going through. It's necessary. It's normal. Some people go through different periods of time, and changes are normal. Changes, seasons are all about changes. They're called cycles, and usually they change us for good. If you stay in winter, some people, hey, is it possible for a Christian to go through I'm comparing it to winter now, to go through a season and stay a little too long in that season? Is it possible? Yes, it is. The seasons are for our good. They're for changing us. And one of the best things about changes is we've learned that they are not forever. Whenever you go through a season, winter, we're coming into winter now. But you know what? It will not be forever. Spring is kind of down the road, but it's coming, amen? So seasons are not forever. We've also learned that some seasons never come. What season never comes? We've said it, huh? The convenient season. When Felix said, at a more convenient season, I will call for thee, Paul. And he never did. Some things never happen. Some seasons never come. So don't say, oh, I'll get saved tomorrow. Oh, don't say, I'll read my Bible next during the week. No, you better make time now. Because this is the only season that counts. Not the one coming up. The one you're in now. By way of preview, I developed a little circle here. As they say on Lion King, a little cycle of life thing. And we start off as a baby Christian, don't we? That baby Christian concept is missing in most religions. They want everybody to start by baptism. They want everybody to start by good works. They want everybody to start. No, you got to start by the new birth. Once you enter into this cycle, let me say this. It is a cycle that will repeat itself. We go through a growth spurt. Then we come to a time of waiting. Not every tree that just starts to sprout and grow produces fruit right away, does it? It's got to grow for quite a while. A banana plant takes how many years before it produces fruit? Anybody remember? Huh? It can produce fruit in about 3 years. All right? What about an apple tree? Usually 5 years. It's different apple trees up to... and I said one other one. What was it that was really long? What was it? An orange takes... how many years was it? 30 years? No. 15 years. 12 or 15 years. There was one that was like 30 years. I don't have it in these notes here because I had it last week. There are some trees that have to grow for up to 30 years before they produce fruit. So don't go, well, I'm not like Eric. Eric's so comfortable at the doors. He just seems to... everything he touches turns to gold. All right, well, you're just on a different growth path, okay? Just make sure you're growing is the point, okay? Growth. So there's a waiting. Then there's a season of fruitfulness. And we talked about this last week, and let me tell you, it's the greatest time of your life where prayers are being answered, where the Bible just comes alive to you, where when you're soul winning and you're talking to somebody and you've got the answers, there's nothing greater than enjoying the fruit of your Christian life, amen? And the season of fruitfulness. Everything starts paying off. The great thing of being a Christian is that you're not just going through rituals. There's something that happens that just blesses you when you start to bear fruit. And I can't compare it. It's when you're in the will of God and you're doing what God saved you and called you to do, and it's working. There's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. And every one of you ought to be desiring to have one goal in your life. What is your goal? To bear fruit. By this, herein is my Father glorified, that ye what? Bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Right? Then we talked about something that was unusual, and that was there is after that the season of harvest. What's the shocking thing about fruit? Come on, what do we say? What's the shocking thing about fruit? What's the terrible thing about fruit, Brother John? It has to be picked, eaten, but not by you. It's for others. So name me a fruit that ought to be in the Christian's life. What is a fruit that ought to be in a Christian's life? Love. Charity. Selfless giving. What else? What ought to be a fruit? There ought to be a byproduct of Jesus Christ in my life. Joy. Now, these are the fruits of the Spirit, amen? But what else ought to be in my Christian life? Yes, sir. Kindness. I like this kid. Can I keep him? All right. Something else. What about the fruit of, yes, sir? Long-suffering. Amen. Giving. How about other Christians ought to be a fruit of the Christian life? Amen. I mean, husband, wife, they get married, and they don't have a dog or a cat. They have a kid. Amen. Now, they're welcome to buy a dog or a cat, but the natural fruit of that relationship is more of them. And if you're a Christian and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will produce another Christian. That's ought to be the fruit of a Christian. What's the verse in Proverbs 11:30? The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So, listen, what did we learn about last week? When you get fruit, guess what? You're going to be stripped clean. Somebody's going to pick you clean. You're going to end up empty. Well, amen. That's what fruit is for. The ministry is not about you going from success to success. You go from service to service, and you end up wore out. That is the Christian life. You say, that's not fun, but that's how God designed us. We are designed to give so that we go through another cycle, we come up, and we're fresh, full of fresh fruit, not last year's fruit. Now, let's talk about, this is where we're going to start tonight, is on pruning, chastening. It moves from there to a time of defeat and loss, what the Bible calls a night season. From there, and notice the sequence, we come down to the last one, which is a season of rest. Every plant goes through all of these cycles. Every Christian goes through them. But it comes back to a season of growing again. Every plant doesn't die after it's given its first fruit. It then goes through another cycle and then produces more fruit the next season. That's where you start to grow again, back where you started. Now, the point is, we go through these cycles until one day, amen, one day the trumpet will sound. And I pray I don't have to die, amen. It is appointed to men once to die, and after this, a judgment. But I've already missed the judgment. I'm hoping to miss the death. Amen? I'm looking forward to a shout that'll take us home. But one day, we will be perfect. Amen? We'll talk about that tonight. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Would you help us, Father, to try and identify where each one of us are at? Probably there's not two people at the same place spiritually. Just like with spiritual gifts, there are spiritual seasons that we're in. And we need to sort of take a good look and see where we're at and get through them and endure and enjoy. Lord, because that's how we grow. Lord, we sometimes fight the hand of the Holy Spirit in our life that's working on us in that season. And we need to yield to Him. We need to let you to let you change us in the season that we're in and prepare us for the next one so that ultimately we bear fruit. So bless this study tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in reality, you're looking at just a wheel that's spinning around. You enter the wheel how? All right, I mean, these are crude illustrations, but you enter into the Christian life how? How do you do it, Mary Doe? How do you get into the Christian life? Receiving Jesus Christ, He gives you a whole new life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So I get Him, I get life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, he ain't got life. That's in the original. there's you know, all of a sudden it enters by the new birth, okay? Now, do you have to get born again every season? No, that's a one-time event. And there's one-time event where we leave this cycle. But until I go home to heaven, I may have lots of cycles of waiting, lots of cycles of pruning and defeat. That's okay, all right? As a matter of fact, that's normal. So, let's talk about, first of all, pruning. John 15 now. John 15. And if you want to fill in for any of this stuff, I can give it to you later. But really, just stay with me. We're going to do the last four. Well, you know what? Probably, I'm looking at mine. It's probably F. I'm sorry. Yes. A time of pruning. See if I can keep that up there so I can keep with yours. All right. John 15, verses 1 and 2. Brother Dan, would you read that, please? John 15. Sorry, give everybody a chance. It's in the New Testament. John 15, 1 and 2.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
So, Dan, tell me again, what is the branch? Okay. And if you don't have any fruit at all, All right, there are one of two options. One is you haven't gotten to the place where you can produce fruit, or what's the other probable reason why you have no fruit? You never got saved. All right, that's why Paul says, examine yourself, see if you are in the faith. And that's a good thing to take a look at. But here, if you are producing fruit, that's our point. If you take the illustration and go back, what was the previous stage that we're at, the previous season that we just looked at? What was it? The harvest. So if you have produced fruit, what can you expect? Pruning. Not a pat on the back, but it's time to clear out things that are dead in your life. But I thought it was fruitful. Yep. Fruitfulness does not mean you're perfect yet. There is, when you do start to have success in the Christian life, God wants to strip away things to help you to be more successful. We get it backwards. We think if I'm doing well, I don't need any correction. You don't know your own heart then. So let's look at this. This is a time of chastening. This is the time where we clean out dead things that are in our life, or actually we're allowing God to do it. Sometimes it happens in a church. I'll say this just a second. It's a good time. It's a good season in your life where the Lord is pulling stuff out. It's like spring cleaning in your life. Just dumping things that are taking up space and taking up time in your life that shouldn't be there. And sometimes it happens in a church where all of a sudden somebody, and it grieves me, I'm a pastor, but it grieves me when somebody gets a bad attitude. You can see them come into church. You can see them, they're just, and they keep that bad attitude. And they just, and they start to become like a black hole. Sort of pull people down with them. You know, the best thing that can happen, if they don't want to get right, what's the best thing that can happen? They move on. And God, I don't want to kick anybody out, man. But sometimes they just leave and God prunes. Why? So that the church can go on. So that the church can bear fruit. You don't want, can you imagine if there were six people in this room who just had bad attitudes? It spreads like wildfire. What is just as bad as an action? It's an A word. What is just as bad and evil as an action? An attitude. If I have a bad attitude, it's just as if I have a bad act. And we don't want to have either, amen? You wouldn't like somebody coming in here with a baseball bat or a hurley stick swinging it at people, would you? No, a lot of people get hurt. How about people's tongues? Can a tongue hurt people? Sure can. So sometimes God has, if we want fruit, we have to allow God to sometimes prune. Be careful not to hold on to what the Lord may be trying to take away in your life. Like what? What would be something that God might be trying to take out of your life, Brother Dennis?
Bad opinions.
Bad opinions, okay. Bad thoughts. Things that kind of, things that aren't right thoughts. What else? How about bad habits? You ever think the Lord tries to pull cigarettes away out of people's lives, out of people's hands? You know what? That's a tough grip. People put something in the middle of that and they do not want to let go. What about television? Television channels, hobbies and things. There's not a lot. We're not talking about just a million things that are just evil of themselves. But all of a sudden, it's just bad in your life. It's just a bad habit. And the Lord tries to pull it away. When he starts to prune our lives, what should we do? Let it go. Let it go. Is there anything else? I got three there. Somebody else got. Yes, sir, Brother Eddie. Sorry? Critical spirit. Yes, exactly. Man, let him take that away. How will he do that? How will God's Spirit take away my critical spirit? How could he do that? You're not thinking. Just by reading the Bible. See, we want God to do this. We want God to show up in our lives and say, you better stop that or I'm going to terminate your life tonight. That's what we want. But how does the Holy Spirit work? Sometimes we wish he would. You okay? You breathing again? You breathing? All right. But the Holy Spirit comes along and say, drop it. Let it go. Don't keep it going. And that's how he works. And the Holy Spirit just brings back something about the right spirit in a Christian's life. Amen? And we're like, oh, no, hold on to my bad attitude. Be careful not to hold on to what God is trying to take away from your life. So the season is a season of pruning. Is that a pleasant time? You know, we live in a world where the things that we have, we don't like to lose. I mean, if we got it, we want to hold on to it. It may not be much, but it's all we got. But if the Lord ever takes something away from your life, maybe he takes away a friend. Maybe you just realize that friend is bad news for me. And then, you know what's neat? You don't have to ever tell them to go away. All you have to do is witness, and they will leave on their own. Amen? But if the Lord ever takes a bad friend away from you, what can you mark down as a promise from God? He'll give you a better one. So whatever he's pruning from your life is for, actually going to end up for the better. Amen? Second thing. Let's look at the next one. It's a time of defeat and loss. This is what I call the quiet season, or the night season. So go to Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. Nita, Job chapter 7 and verse 4. Please, real loud, please. Does that describe some nights where you can't wait for the sunrise? You just saying, when is it going to be morning? And all you're doing is tossing and turning. The night is long sometimes. Look at Psalm 16:7. Let's keep going. Mary Ann, Psalm 16 and verse 7. Next book. Not in the day seasons, but in the night seasons. There are times that God can only teach you, and it's dark. In God, you know, we want God to teach us, you know, in the day when it's easy, when we understand everything, when we can see stuff. And the Lord says, no, the rains are going to have to teach you. What's a rain? Your stomach? Well, the way we sense is by in our gut, yes. But what we're talking about is like a horse where there is a pulling. The horse has no idea. You ever had anybody talk about dumb as a horse? I mean, dogs are smarter than horses. Horses will stay out in the rain. Dogs come in. That was very smart. You should learn these things. Horses are dumb. So are we. And the horse responds to the pull and to the tug. And the horse, sometimes they put blinders on horses, don't they? And the point is, God will sometimes put you in the middle of a disaster, in the middle of the darkest time, and he'll just pull you and tug you and say, keep going, stop, and you have no idea. That's a night season, and you learn in that night season. John 12. Let's see. I'm going to get Brother Glenn. John 12, 24 and 25, if you don't mind. Let's see if these Americans have a right Bible or not. Gospel of John, chapter 12. He's probably got one of those, you know, living translations, you know.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
You think that's an easy set of scriptures? So what's he describing? He's describing a kernel of corn, one single kernel, and says that as long as it is alive, will abide how? Alone. But if it is allowed to die, we're talking about dig a hole, drop it in, cover it over, and stamp it, and leave it. That's death. Walk away. Once you bury that and leave it behind you, now fruit can come. Christians don't want to go through that. Amen? I don't like to die. Amen? I want to live. But this is a very important season in the Christian's life. There is a time when you go through defeat and loss. You have to learn. Here's my point. You have to learn that your successes do not come from yourself. Was Jesus a success in his 3.5 years of ministry? Come on. It's not a trick question. Was Jesus a success? Yes. And yet what was ahead of him? Death. The cross. In our life, there are times where we go, I'm a success as a Christian. I'm finally getting this victory over sin. I'm finally having a right relationship with my family. Everything's right. And then God strips you down and lets you just die. And the point is, you may have everything going fine, but you will not bear and produce the fruit that you're supposed to until you learn that your success comes from him, not from you. And there are times and there are cycles that we will go through a dozen times until we learn promotion comes from the Lord. My success comes from him. And if there's anything good in my life, I will ever only desire to give him the glory. And that's hard. All that is of yourself has to die. Your plans, your wishes, and your dreams. I can't emphasize this enough. John's got dreams and plans for Ruth. And every one of us... I can pick on several of you. You got desires. And I'm looking at Chris back here. He's going to be a brain surgeon one day, right? No. And then all of these plans. Do you know what you do when you stand before, as a Christian, you stand before God in your prayer time? You know what you need to do? Not my will, but thy will be done. Even if he starts you completely over, Chris, and says, I've got a better plan. That would be killer. He spent a fortune coming here and taking all these courses at UCC. And the Lord start completely over. My point is, that is a necessary season in your life. And whether you like it or not, you will go through it. You will go through a time where you are like a kernel of corn dropped in a hole and left to die. It's compared. This is a time when God goes quiet in your life. Let me just be real plain. Until you learn to only trust him. And is compared to an eagle when he goes through what's called the molting stage. It's not the most devastating thing, but it is a tremendous illustration of a proud, beautiful bird. It is one of these birds that you don't want to mess with. And when an eagle goes through its molting stage, where its feathers are just coming off, when there's just, it doesn't want to fly, and it really can't fly. And it goes and it just sits on the edge of some cliff somewhere, and all the other birds are flying around. This eagle, as confident as it used to be, when he tries, if he ever does try to fly, he'll jump into the air and fall right down and hurt himself. Till he gives up and he just sits on a low ledge somewhere, just watching all the other eagles fly. While he can do nothing. He can't even bring himself to eat. And for weeks on end, he'll just sit there. It's kind of like, it's just a sadness comes across this very proud creature. And for weeks, he'll sit there and he loses everything that he once was so proud of. His beautiful feathers, his strength, his keen eye. Do you realize that an eagle, a half a mile up, can see a rat? Aren't you glad, amen? that thing is flying at 40 or 50 miles an hour and sees a rat and he's got him. That keen eye is gone. There's a stage in the life of an eagle where it goes away. Other eagles, and they were kind of unique to watch, other eagles will come alongside and they'll try and shelter him. Try to nudge him, but to no avail. He'll sit there, and you ever heard of moping? You know what moping is? He'll sit there and he'll mope and he'll just, it's just like he wants to die until some new feathers start growing. He won't die. This is a stage he has to go through. And as those new feathers grow, takes weeks and weeks of that defeat, no desire to even try and fly. And he'll sit there and those feathers start growing and they begin to stretch out. He's not even aware that his feathers have regrown. He doesn't even try to fly, but then a breeze will come up alongside. And those wings start to fill out, and he says, well, that felt good. And then another breeze will come up behind him, or maybe come up into his face, and he'll stretch out, and those wings begin to test the air, and then just in one brief stab into the unknown. He bounces out there and he's flying again. What just happened? A season. A season of molting to get rid of the old feathers that were dying off, and he had to get some new ones. Folks, this is something that every Christian goes through. You'll have great seasons of success, Graham. And then there'll be times where you'll be absolutely felt like you've been abandoned by God. Christians won't be able to talk to you, won't be able to encourage you. Dan sitting down with you, you just want to punch him. It's just, I can tell you story after story of great men of God, great pastors and preachers who thought that they had the ministry. They thought they had things going so well, and they were. But then they entered a season where God went quiet and nothing was happening. And they just want to, now listen, there is in the heart of every pastor, a human heart, who when things start going bad, they too want to quit. They just, why be a burden to the people? I'm not doing anything. I'm just taking up their time. And pastors even say, I just want to quit. And some of them actually do. And it's kind of sad to hear about. Some of them basically just need to just take a break. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But they'll go through a season where they can't even, you know, teach a Sunday school lesson. They can't even lead sing, and they can't even hand out a gospel tract without stumbling and fumbling and mumbling over their words. They're so, so discouraged. That's a season. It's called a night season. You've got to be ready for it, because it's in that humbling time that they learn that anything that was good in their life was because of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of their abilities. And you need to be ready for it. How many of you should be ready for the molting season, for the night seasons? How many of you should be ready for them? Every one of us. That's the point here. Go to 2 Timothy 2:3. Glenn, what is your wife's name? Kim! Telling you. 2 Timothy, you forget too, don't you, right? No. 2 Timothy, you said it, but I couldn't hear it. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. All right, now if I'm in the Lord's army, I'm supposed to endure hardness. Does that mean I'm going to experience hardness? I might. Might as well put it on there. I will. All they that live godly, all they live godly shall suffer persecution. Folks, there's no way around it. You're going to have to endure and get through it. Every one of us want to have a spiritual helicopter come in and take us out of the valley. But it doesn't come. God says, press on. Press on. It is a time of testing. When you hit this time where you just feel worthless, when you just feel defeated, endure. It is a time. Who's testing you? God. Don't sit there, well, the devil's really been rough on me this week, probably. But God can be rough on you too, where he says, it's time to push some old stuff out of your life and get you just to let me renew you. What did we talk about last week, last month in our verse? What was our verse? Who can quote Romans 12:2? Raise your hand. Romans 12:2. Come on, everyone. Martin. So there is a constant renewing, isn't there, of this idiot box up here. So that I am renewed, and I'm only renewed in those times of testing. The Lord wants to know whether I'm serious. The Lord wants to know, and he said that when he brought Israel out of Egypt and he let them sit in the wilderness. He said, I did this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I did this to prove whether you will live by my words or whether you only want the free food. And he tested them. How long was the wilderness, Brother Martin? How long was that wilderness wandering? That's a long test. Now, was the whole time a test? Actually, only the first 2 years. And they blew it. And they went on for another 38 years because they blew it. And we're going to talk about, if you miss this stage, this season, you may have to actually go through the wilderness for a little longer. There are two paths. You can either give in to the testing or you can endure. Let's go to Hebrews 11:25. What is your daughter's name, or does she mind? Kayla. This is Hebrews 11:25. wow, there's our season again. You can either give in to the temptation. What would be the temptation, Caleb, of a Christian who is going through a season of discouragement? What would be the temptation? To just give up and head where? Back to the old life. Back to the old friends. Back to Egypt. And what did Moses say? He'd rather choose to suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin that only lasts for just a season. Everything goes through seasons. Don't think that it's better back there. No. Nope. It may be better for a little while, but you'll go through another season that way. Or let's go to James 1:12, Brother Dennis. James 1:12. Wow, that gets us back to our morning message on the only reason why I stay faithful is not because of the crown, because I love him and he loves me, amen? But I do get a benefit. There are crowns for those who stay faithful and endure. Henrietta, do you want to do first? Can you do 1 Peter 1:6? I like to give everybody a chance. I think I skipped somebody. I might have to come back to her. 1 Peter 1:6, Henrietta. Okay, so for a little while, you may have to suffer through, that says, the trials and tribulations. And very good. This is our first time on a Sunday night. I'm delighted. Thank you very much. But it says to endure. How about one more? I'm going to get back in your niece's, Megan, that's right. 2 Timothy 2:3. We've already read it, but let's read it again. Okay. Do you know, what would you think of a soldier who, you spend 100,000 euros or dollars training them to go to the battle, and as soon as it's hot and as soon as guns start shooting and he goes, I'm going home. I say, no, you're staying. Endure. And Christians quit. The temptation is to quit. And if you quit, I guarantee you, it hurts more. It hurts you more to go back to the old life than it would be for you to endure. I found that to be true. There is more pain in trying to live what you can't be anymore. Israel could not go back to Egypt. And it'll hurt you more if you try and go back. I've known guys who, when they got saved, they put down the drink, they put down the cigarettes, they put down the old friends, and they started living for God. And then it got hard. And then they went back to the old buddies, and they had to do 3 times the effort just to have the same buzz. And it was awful. It just wore on them. 2 paths. Which one are you going to take when you're going through a night season? You understand what I'm saying when we talk about night seasons? When God goes quiet. God doesn't answer. It's like winter. There's no life there. You sit down and you pray and God is silent. You ever been there? Did that mean that God has gone on holiday? Or that it is a season where the Lord's saying, you're just going to stay true? You're just going to stay praying? You see, we pray not because God does great things. Does he do great things? But we don't pray because God does great things. We pray because of God. Because he says to bring all our cares into him, and he will, maybe not in our time, but in his time, answer our requests. And so we keep praying. We keep reading. You say, I just don't get anything out of my Bible. Does a tree, just because it doesn't have any growth or whatever, does it just die? Or does it wait until it rains? Just keep reading your Bible. Keep coming to church. I don't get anything out of your preaching, Pastor. I don't either. No, not true. You may just be going through a season where you're just dead. Amen. Endure. Because it will come back around, won't it? All right. Look at the season of rest. Proverbs 16:7. Let's see. You want to try it, young man? Give it a try. Are you able to? Proverbs 16:7. Proverbs. Yes. I didn't see that. Thank you. It's actually, I'm missing this. Can I help you? Before you read that, young man, because I don't remember his name. You want to endure times with three or four things. One is, go to Psalm 42:8. I want you to read Psalm 42. Yes, sir. Psalm 42 and verse 8. Man, I just want to stand up and shout. That was good reading. Way to go, Joe. Way to go. But did you see there are two things in that verse that you should be doing when it's nighttime? What is it? Praying, and what's the other one? Singing. You better take that hymn. Well, don't take the hymn home unless you're going to bring it back. But you better take the hymns home. You better learn some of those songs, what we sing. And you go, oh, here we are singing that dumb song again. You better have a song so that when you're going through a night season, you can sing. Because that is one thing that will get you through. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody. Maybe you can't make it publicly, but you can make it in your heart to the Lord. Amen. So your two fill-ins there are praying and singing and right thoughts. Look at Psalm 63, verse 6. Hannes, Psalm 63 and verse 6. All right, now night watches. It's not like this kind of a watch, Hannes. But a night watch, there was a watchman who would be walking around the walls of a city looking for what? What is he looking for? He's a guard, but what is he looking out for? What is he watching for? Evil things like enemies and soldiers and armies. And as those night watches, when David as a king should be panicking and worrying and his mind be overwhelmed with all the things that can go wrong, what was on his mind and on his heart? Help him out. God. He was meditating right thoughts. What does the Bible say? Be careful for nothing. So when your heart is panicking, you better start thinking about God. You better meditate about Him. That's one of the good ways to handle and endure the night season. Because in the night is when the enemy usually attacks. Amen? When you're not ready for it. One more thing I said on there. Job 1:21. Ozzie. So I'll give you one guess what should be happening when there's nothing else to do, when everything else has been taken from you. What can you and ought you to do in order to keep from self-destructing? Praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We sang the song. So as a Christian, four things you can be doing. Singing, praying, making sure you have right thoughts, because the devil will give you wrong thoughts. Amen? And praising God. You can't go wrong by praising God. All right. Thank you, Nita, because those were four very important points that I had on another page. At this point here, after you've gone through the loss, after you've gone through a stripping down, a defeat, and before I forget, I want to give you three examples. I don't think I have them on here. 2 Samuel 16. I think these are just too good to skip. 2 Samuel 16. Still in the same section. Go back to this. We're on this thing. All right, go back here. We're talking about a defeat and loss. Let me give you three examples really quick of people who went through absolute loss, even though they were at the highest peak of their success. 2 Samuel 16. Let me read it because it's a bit. Verses 5 to 14 says this. 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 to 14. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still. He cursed constantly as he came. Anybody know what's going on? How come a guy is yelling at David? Where is David? What's happened? Somebody tell me. He's fleeing for his life. Is Saul after him? It's not Saul. Who's actually taken over the kingdom at this point? His own son, Absalom, has stood up there in defiance and quite successfully has taken the whole kingdom and turned against David for himself. And David is running for his life. And as he's running, this old man who couldn't hurt two fleas, much less one, he's up there throwing rocks at him and cursing David. Listen to him. Verse 6. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out! Come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial." What's he calling him? He's saying, you man of the devil. I mean, it's nothing worse than you're a Christian trying to live for God and somebody say you're of the devil. "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul." This is God getting you. "In whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man." David is hurting, and now this guy is hurting him more. Then said Abishai, I mean, everybody should have a friend named Abishai. Then said Abishai unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." You want to have a friend like that, amen? Man! And the king said, "What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him what? Because the Lord hath said unto him," what? "Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good, pay me back good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. What's going on? Night season. David is destroyed. David's ruined. And God's allowing it to happen. I'll show you another one. I think these are so good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 9 to 11. Let's see if I can get Shane. 2 Timothy chapter 9. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verses 9 to 11. Verse 9, 10, and 11 of chapter 4. Excellent. Excellent, girl. Excellent, excellent. Did you notice Paul is writing Timothy? He says, "Do your diligence to come shortly, come quickly unto me, because Demas has forsaken me." He says, he goes on, and he says, because he's loved this present world, Cretans is in Galatia, Titus in Dalmatia. By the way, that's where Dalmatian dogs maybe come from. I don't know, 101 Dalmatians. Only Luke is with me. Where's Paul? He's in prison. And he hasn't got but one friend in the world except for Timothy. I think Paul, one of the most successful Christians who ever lived, was having everything stripped down. But it was in those prison times he wrote the most precious epistles in the New Testament next to the Gospels. One more. Matthew chapter 26. Marcus, Matthew 26 and verse 56. Matthew 26 and verse 56. We've learned about King David at the height of his success being stripped down. Paul, at thousands and tens of thousands of people won to Christ, taught the Bible. Bible institutes started all over Europe. Churches started, maybe as many as personally starting himself, 30, influencing maybe hundreds more. There he is now stripped down. Only Luke has stuck with me. And here's one other person who has everything stripped away from him in spite of his great success. Matthew 26, verse 56. Forsook who? It's Jesus. And who, Jesus is left alone, isn't he? I mean, just days before, just days, mere days before, he comes into Jerusalem, and how is Jesus received? Like a king. And here he is now, abandoned like last week's rubbish. Okay? Stripped down. Don't ever forget, the servant is never greater than his master. And if it happened to Jesus, it's going to happen to us. Because that's how we grow. So, let's go through this thing. Let me come into the season of rest. Come back here. Proverbs 16:7, Brother John. Proverbs 16:7. It's just something nice when your enemies leave you alone, amen? And there is a season where God can just put things at rest and you don't have to do anything. God just does it. And it's quiet for a season. Let's go to Revelation 6:11. Who's behind you? Mary Adele? Revelation 6:11. Now, this is out in the future. Okay, this is during the tribulation. But I like how it says some folks are going to get to heaven kind of the hard way. They're going to get their head cut off. And they get pretty upset about it. I mean, if you lost, you ever heard somebody says, well, he lost his head. But usually we mean that they got out of control. They lost their temper. But these guys literally lost their head and they're pretty upset about it. They're saying, Lord, when are you going to bring revenge? And the Lord says, have a rest. Just wait till it's all finished. And there comes a time where you just, folks, what is God saying? There comes a time, I don't care how mad you are, I don't care what's going on, you need to rest. You need to force yourself to rest. Go to Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, Sarah. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. You know, the Lord will actually lead you to a way, and it's like a cycle. It's back to an old-fashioned church like this, to a place where things are just simple, and you go, I will not go that way anymore. And the Lord's trying to help you find a place of rest. Amen? You know, people, and I said this, and I'll say it till the day I die, people come into this room, come into that room, wherever we have church, they need to come and be at rest in a place like this. You shouldn't have to be uptight. Oh, do I have to perform? Do I have to impress anybody? No, when people come in here, that's what church is about. People need to know. They seem to love me there. And one more, 1129. Who can, let's see, Kira? No, let's see. Who's on the other side hiding behind him? Eli. Matthew 1129. Wow, who's talking there? It's Jesus. And what's his goal is to get us to a place where we can find rest. Now that happens when you get saved, but did you know I need to go to him pretty regularly and find some more rest and get some more rest. That's what he's there for. Season of rest. It is when you have gone through a winter season that you don't instantly produce fruit. What do you do now? After the season's over, you can rest. There's just something wonderful about spring. After winter is gone, you just want to go out and sit in the garden, don't you? And just rest and enjoy the sun, enjoy the longer days, amen? And as a Christian life, there needs to be a time when you just enjoy what God's doing in your life. There is a difference between waiting and resting. Waiting is when you're in training and when you're preparing to produce fruit. Resting is when you do nothing on purpose. Did you know you need both? Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 127. And Dean, Psalm 127 and verse 2. Isn't the Bible cool? 127 and verse 2. Okay, waiting is when you're in training and you are preparing to produce fruit. You're waiting for when God says, now. And hey, I planted. Paul says, I planted. Apollos watered. But who gives the increase? Who produces fruit in your life? You can't produce fruit. Only God can. All right? So you're waiting for God to produce fruit in your life. Does that make sense? Okay. Can anybody win anybody to Jesus Christ? No. I can really persuade them, but ultimately, the Holy Spirit wins them. Ultimately, they've got to agree with the program. Amen? I can only take them so far. So I don't produce any fruit. God does. So while I'm waiting for him to produce fruit, that's waiting. Preparing, I'm working, I am investing. But then there's a time where you rest. That's when you do nothing on purpose, like sleeping. Dean, Psalm 127 and verse 2. Now, Dean, how long do you normally sleep at night? Is it 11 hours, 12, 13 hours? No. How long would you normally sleep at night? 8, 9 hours, I'm sure. Did you ever think about it? Did you know it's important to get sleep? Did you know it's important to get a good amount of sleep? Not too much. But it is. He gives his beloved what? Sleep. He does not give us stress. He gives us sleep. I'll show you another one. Ecclesiastes 5. Joshua, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 18. Right after Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 5:11. Go ahead. Did I say 5? Yeah, 5:18. I'm sorry. I was looking the wrong line. So what is his portion? What does God give him? Go ahead. Food and drink and we're talking about drink, not alcohol, but he should have some fun. He should just sit down and have a picnic. There needs to be time in a Christian's life where you just play. Not all the time. Okay? But God doesn't, what he's saying is you may work and plant and harvest, but there comes a time where you just sit down, you have a meal, you have a time where you just enjoy the family, you just enjoy each other, you enjoy a game, you enjoy relaxing. Is that evil and wrong? No, it's necessary. What did Solomon do? He learned. He put in chapter 2 and 3 and 4. You know what he did? He said, I put my heart to building the greatest kingdom. I built the most beautiful pools. I built the most incredible palaces. And it was worthless. I forgot to enjoy the flowers. I forgot to enjoy the sunrise. I forgot to enjoy everything. Don't forget to rest and have good, fun time. You need to switch off and go for a quiet walk sometimes. Dan came to our house. He just showed up today. Not really. We invited him. And we fed him. And then I thought he was going home for a nap. You know what he did? He went home and went for a walk. Cleared his head. It was a big deal. Amen. But it's important to do. It's important just to No phone, no internet, no dog, no cat, no nothing. Just you and God, and just talk and laugh. Amen. This is a time in your life when nothing is happening on purpose. What was the previous time? No matter what you did, nothing worked. Amen. Now you need to have a time when you just need to rest, patience. Psalm 27 and verse 14.
Barry.
Psalm 27 and verse 14. Now this is, I'm using the word wait, but I want to use this verse just to get you to where you're in waiting and you're like, I'm trusting. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Okay, that is cool. This is again, I'm not using, this is a rest time, and there's plenty of verses, but the thing I just saw, this is where you're trusting the Lord. And you go, I don't have to be the Savior. I don't have to be God. You can leave some things with Him and just rest sometimes. Does that make sense? Am I sort of just going over the head? Do you understand what I'm saying? There's sometimes we just got to sit back and go, God will take care of this. I need to have some rest, amen? And you're just going to wait on Him to act. Amen? Sunday is supposed to be that day of rest for most people. Now, if you're a doctor and you got to be at job, amen. If you're on the guard, fine. But if you don't have a good excuse, you ought to be where? In church. And resting. Amen. Have a time. Rest in it. Rest in this. Come back here. Don't do that. Do as little as possible. I think, man, I just like doing as little as possible on a Sunday. It's not possible for me, but I try. There are two paths. When you hit this season, there are two paths out of this season. The first one is, come back here, either, the computer's not working today. Either you're going to have patience. Let's go to James 5:8. Who's got a Bible back there? Let's see. Despina, James 5:8. James 5:8. We'll wrap this up real quick. Okay. And he's using an illustration in that part of the chapter about a farmer. He plants and then he can't do any more. You cannot yell at the seeds and make them grow any faster, can you? He says, nah, leave it to God. And and we need to do the same thing where we have patience. Hebrews 10:36 says, you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promises. So just sit back and let Him work it out now. Or you can blow it by getting impatience. Warning, if you get impatient and you like, you don't like sort of just resting and relaxing, like Peter did not do right in the upper room. How many remember? Jesus said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and wait, listen to the words, until what? To the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, to the promise of the Father. When Peter got up there, he started to pray. It's easy to pray for a few hours. You don't believe that. But it is easy to pray for a few hours. How about praying for 10 days straight? You think you could do it? I think we'd get bored, wouldn't we? Peter, after about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, you know what he says? We got to do something. We got to replace Judas. And he picks up some straws and he says, of these who've been here all with us from the beginning, let's choose between these two and we'll leave them up to God. You know what he's doing? He's acting without the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to do something. What was he supposed to do? Nothing except pray and wait on God. Who was going to be the replacement of Judas? The Apostle Paul. That's what come from that moment on. Peter made a mistake and Paul never gave out to him for it. God didn't even get out to him for it. But for the rest of his life, Paul had to go around saying, I really am an apostle. I really am. Because they all said, we've got 12. We don't need any more. And he always had to say, truly, the signs of an apostle have been done among you. You know I'm an apostle. Because Peter had gotten ahead of God and acted when he was supposed to be sitting and doing nothing except resting. So don't get impatient. After you have gone through your seasons, you'll get back to a time of growth. No tree is supposed to just stop growing after it produces its fruit. It continues to grow. And I look forward to, we've been around as a church for 17 years. And Brother Dennis, we're going to be another 17. You know, or more if the Lord tarries. But the point is this, we just got to keep growing. We don't want to ever quit. We just keep growing. If any of you ever get to go to the States, go to California. Don't go to New York. Go to California. And go see a tree that are called the redwood trees. The sequoias. These things have grown for 300 and 400 years. They are 120 meters tall. They just keep growing. Did you know if you let a lizard just keep eating and keep growing and not get eaten up by a cat or something, if you let a lizard keep growing, they will keep growing. Kent Hovind tells the illustration. He went to a guy's house in Florida there. He was door knocking. This guy invited him in, and there was a snake that was a full 18 feet long slithering around inside the house. It was one of those constrictor ones that just, it would, boa constrictor, it would, and he says, it's for the rats, you know. He kept this pet around. It just kept growing. It was huge. If it didn't have a predator, that reptile, that snake would just continue to grow. I'm here to tell you, Christians ought to just keep growing. Honestly. I mean, we've grown, haven't we, Brother Dennis?
With God's help.
And we're not bragging. We're just saying that's what we're supposed to be doing. Whatever season you're going through, it's not going to last forever. You go through another and you will get to the place where you're growing again. Just keep growing. Never go backward. You'll be back where you started, and this cycle will continue throughout the rest of your life until we go home. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs 4:18. What a wonderful, wonderful... let's see. Was my brain not working? I'll start up here. Kim. Proverbs 4:18. I like this picture. When I first got saved, I remember finding this picture, and it just, see the guy there? I know who this is, but you know who this is? It's me. I can't wait. All right, there, Kim. There is a perfect day coming in there. And we ought to shine more and more and more. One of these days, we're going to arrive home in heaven, and we will be, right now, we're nearly perfect. But when we're home, what are we going to be? Perfect. Let's go to Philippians 1:6, Brother Graham. Philippians 1:6. We'll break the cycle. There is a day coming. It's not like out into the future. No, there's a day coming, and it's not too far away when we'll be made perfect. He will have finished the work on us. Amen? Here's your conclusion. Our cycle, we start as a baby Christian. We get into these seasons, and those seasons are growing, waiting as you're preparing to produce fruit. Then comes fruit. You shouldn't have to wait until you're... Listen, you get saved at 9 years old. You shouldn't wait until you're 90 until you start producing fruit. It should happen fairly soon where you just start inviting your friends out to church and they come. Paul, when he got saved, you couldn't shut him up. They had to let him out of a basket because he got in so much trouble. Let him out of a window out of Damascus because he was going around winning the Jews. And that was a no-no. But he was trying to bear fruit. So don't wait forever. So, well, I'm waiting, Pastor Weber. Amen, amen. But look forward to producing fruit. And then allow for the fact that you're going to get picked clean. Allow for the fact that if you do have any fruit, somebody's going to take it from you. And you just got to go get more. Amen. Pruning. Pruning fun. But it's a very necessary part so I can produce more fruit later. There is defeat. There's a winter. I call that the night season. It's a winter time when you lose everything. Every tree loses its leaves. There's nothing there. They're bare unless they're an evergreen. But that is part of it. Can you imagine if a tree coming into winter kept all of its leaves? What would that snow do to it? If those leaves held on to the ice and the snow of winter, it would break the branches. It's got to lose those leaves so it can endure the winter. So whatever the Lord's taken away from you, it's so that you can handle the storm. But after defeat, there's rest. You come into spring. And you're just looking forward to the cycle going. You start growing again. And one of these days we're going to break the cycles. We're going to no more seasons. And we'll be home to heaven. But let me ask you this. What season do you think you're in now? How you allow the effects of that season. How you allow defeat to affect you will determine how you produce fruit later on. Because David could have said, when Shimei was throwing stones at him, he could have become bitter and he could have shook his fist back and said, "We're coming up after you." He could have blown any future in his life because it was only a few weeks later he comes back into Jerusalem and recovers the kingdom. But he kept his heart right in that time of season where he was like the kernel of corn dying. Amen. You think about Jesus. He said, "No, don't you realize, I'm putting my own words, don't you realize I could call 12 legions of angels to defend me and protect me?" See, he could have done what we would have done, but he didn't. And because he didn't, we're saved. Amen? So how you react to the season you're in will determine the fruit you have next season. Any questions? We had some good questions last week. Any questions before we finish? Some of you are scared to death. Come on. They did ask some good questions. Let's all stand and let's bow our heads in prayer.